Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, this week's episode is number 9 in our Keys to My Head series. We're listening to all the songs from Keys to My Head and my newest album and talking about those songs. And this one today happens to be the one that is not 100% original. It is a traditional folk song that I wrote new verses to, traditional song called In the Pines. So we'll listen to In the Pines and chat about it on the other side.
Shines, that's where the cold wind blows. In the pines, where the sun never shines. I shiver when the cold wind blows. My hours and my days are filled with a haze, rising up from the soil like a grave. The dead and the dying are far past lying. Their voices come, the living to save. Shines, that's where the cold wind blows. In the pines, where the sun never shines, I shiver when the cold wind blows. These hills and these hollows are a judge and a gallows for no one but the guilty of heart. So come, bring in light, be it daytime or night. Those who have gone before are ready to start. That's where
So that's my version of In the Pines, the traditional folk song. Been covered by quite a number of folks, everybody from Leadbelly to Dolly Parton to Kurt Cobain, and taken into lots of different genres, bluegrass to rock to, you know, lots of different. And so the other interesting thing about it, when I was little, my family, my dad's side of the family, come from southern Arkansas. My grandparents lived in El Dorado, which is in the midst of tall pines, a pine forest just everywhere you look. In fact, as we were driving to their house, it was almost as though we were driving through a tunnel of tall pines just on all sides. And that was my first introduction to the song. My dad and mom would kind of sang it sometimes when we'd travel. They didn't sing this version of it, of course, but it's gone in different directions for different people who have covered it. It's traditionally a song about a lost love. I wanted to cover this one partly because I had a history with the song. It means something to me since it was one that I learned when I was just a little kid, or became familiar with anyway. But also because I live here in the Black Hills. My house is in Spearfish Canyon, and I feel I am surrounded by pines, also spruce and some aspen and birch and oaks and some other things, but quite a few pines. And so the feeling of being in the pines is one that is familiar. But I wanted to explore something unique to the Black Hills area, and so that's where the new verses come in. The only part of this that's traditional is really the refrain or the chorus. The two verses that occur in the song are new, written for this song. I will say this: this was another one that was written during, as many of these were, during FOM, February Album Writing Month, 2020. This is the only one that came from the prompt, which was a folk tale or fairy tale, and I went with a folk song and decided let's stick with the traditional refrain, but write new verses and take it in a different direction. And so that's kind of what I did. This is the only song that came out of that prompt for me, anyway. On this album, there were a couple of others that I wrote with that prompt that didn't quite make the cut. So let's take a look at the lyrics, and we'll talk about those, and talk just a bit about the music. And first verse, no, I'm sorry, we start with the chorus. In the pines, where the sun never shines, that's where the cold wind blows. In the pines, where the sun never shines, I shiver when the cold wind blows. So if you've ever been in the forest, in the pines, quite often, especially when they're nice and thick, I mean, it really cuts out a lot of the sunlight, and it can stay very cool down under there. But the original song was really talking a little bit more about an existential sort of coldness, the loss of a love who has disappeared. And so that existential coldness in the Black Hills, which are absolutely beautiful and quite often wonderfully warm. But there is a coldness that I wanted to get at, and that one that I've, with my work, working with schools that serve indigenous communities, interviewing a lot of Lakota, Dakota elders from the Ocheti Shakoi from this region. There's a history with the Black Hills that is pretty dark, and most people know a little bit about it. The biggest piece of it is, of course, the breaking of a treaty. The Fort Laramie Treaty really gave the Black Hills and most of Western South Dakota and other areas, gave them to the indigenous people of the area. I mean, just said that's yours, you know. But just a few years later, when gold was discovered, partially when Custer came through on an expedition and found some gold, then conveniently the U.S. kind of found reasons to nullify that treaty, to break that treaty, found reasons and made reasons. Because they put up a little bit of a pretense of keeping prospectors and others out of the area briefly, but when it became clear that was not going to really happen, push came to shove. They created the legal means to just kind of say, well, we don't have to uphold that treaty. And I say legal means. I don't mean anything about the legality of it. I just mean they found a loophole that they could point to and try to say, you know. And so that has been a problem ever since. The 9 reservations in our state here in South Dakota are filled with indigenous people. Of the Ocheti Shakoi, the 7 council fires, who all see the Black Hills as the centerpiece of their sacred practice, an incredibly sacred, so many of their sacred sites are in the Black Hills. And so there is this dark history of the taking away of the sacred Black Hills, but also all the death that occurred in the midst of all that. The so-called Indian Wars that sometimes were wars and sometimes were massacres. Wounded Knee comes to mind. And the death of generations, men, but also women and children. Fundamentally, because the U.S. government and the white immigrants wanted this area. And so, ultimately, one way or another, they were going to have it. Well, none of that's been fully resolved. But that history, for me, because I am so aware of it, that history, that dark, cold history, hangs really from every branch in the Black Hills. I won't say that I don't enjoy the beauty of the Black Hills, the sacredness of the Black Hills, the sun the warmth of the Black Hills. They are all of that, but there's also this darkness behind it. And that's really where this song came from. So verse 1. My hours and my days are filled with a haze rising up from the soil like a grave. The dead and the dying are far past lying, and their voices come, the living to save. So one of the things that quite often happens in the U.S. Due to the privilege that comes from being part of the dominant culture, the white culture, is the relegation of all things indigenous, all things, quote, Indian, to being of the past. We think of Native Americans, we think of museums, and we think of ancient times. We think of teepees. We think of the Indian Wars. We think of the broken treaties in the past. We think of all of that stuff. And all of that is true. But the bottom line is, in the indigenous people of North America and of South Dakota are not gone. They are here. They are contemporaries, and they have contemporary issues, and they have contemporary needs, and they are a vibrant people, certainly suffering under a good deal of inequity in our country. And so this idea of the inequity of the past, the brutality of massacres, the horrors of the breaking of treaties and the taking of land and all of that. It's not just a sad thing. It's not just a sad past thing that we can feel sad about and say, well, that's a good lesson for us. It's an immediate thing because it has ramifications in the present. It has ramifications concerning economics and equity and education and everything else in the current state of the United States. It has ramifications, and therefore, in this verse, the dead and the dying are far past lying. There's a truthfulness when your life has either been taken away or is being taken away. And their voices come, the living to save. For me, the voices of the past are aimed at one thing. And this is the thing that is central to the culture and philosophy of the Ocheti Shakoi, and that is our children, our grandchildren, the generations to come. And these voices, both the dead ones and the ones that are threatened now, we have so many elders who have died in this most recent wave of pandemic, the COVID. All of them in a unified fashion advocating for their children and grandchildren. And so it's important, I think, for those of us who are not indigenous to recognize that and to be sad about historical inequities and things that have happened that are horrific in the past, but not to relegate them to the past. They have immediate ramifications for the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and the people who are alive right now who are still living in a threatened way quite often because of the systemic inequity inherent and built into our system. And the Black Hills, for me, are a reminder of that. It's a bittersweet thing. I, I, I love the Black Hills. I love that I am able to live here. And I am aware constantly of the inequity of what happened that even allows me to live here. And that's a struggle. I think we have to struggle with that. I don't know the precise solution, but I know that to be aware of that and to be keenly aware of it, and to be ready to advocate for what needs to happen is the first step to figuring out what needs to be done. So we get back to the chorus. In the pines where the sun never shines, that's where the cold wind blows. In the pines where the sun never shines, I shiver when the cold wind blows. These hills and these hollows are a judge and a gallows for no one but the guilty of heart. So come, bringing light, be it daytime or night. Those who have gone before are ready to start. So I guess in this verse, my small attempt at offering some solution, which is a very vague solution. Guilty as charged, these hills demonstrate a guilt. So if you're going to come here, bring light. And by light, certainly that fits in with the darkness and the cold, but bring light, bring truthfulness, bring a willingness to look unglaringly at what has happened and what needs to happen going forward, because the spirits of the people who have gone before, the ancestors, those who gave life and limb and blood and died in this soil, making it a grave, those spirits are ready to get it going for their children, for their grandchildren. And so it seems to me, so should we, all of us, whether we are blood-related indigenous people of this place or not, we should be ready to advocate for equity for humanity in this place. And that is ever-present for me in the Black Hills, along with the beauty, along with the loveliness, along with the sunshine, the cold harshness of what has happened and what must be done going forward. In the pines where the sun never shines, that's where the cold wind blows. In the pines where the sun never shines, the time for justice grows. In the pines where the sun never shines, as I shiver and the cold wind blows, that justice. So basically, kind of a social justice take on a traditional folk song, In the Pines. Traditional folk song, not written for this area, certainly written. I'm not sure. It may have had its origin in West Virginia, or I don't know that it had its origin in Arkansas, but it certainly did have its origin in the southern parts of the United States. So musically, I began writing this, and I will include the original video because it's kind of quiet and dark and haunting. I recorded quickly for the FOM community this song, and I utilized the instrument that I had at hand, which was a very old four-string ukulele. And so that's what I used again. I used that same instrument then for as the basis for this song, for the recording, and then brought in, of course, a lot of electric guitar and stuff. It turned it into a kind of a rock song. So, but I'll include a link to that original version of it. But I wanted the hauntingness. I wanted the wind. The cold wind seemed well represented by the wailing of the electric guitar. There were a lot of layered vocals, vocal harmonies, and it seems to me that those voices are always there here in the Black Hills. The chorus of voices of the spirits of the dead, those who have gone before, who are still working hard to speak to us, to advocate for their great-great-grandchildren. So there we have it. In the pines, the one sort of cover. I don't know how that works when you do it. I called it a traditional folk song. I did write the verses. They're different than any verses you'll find elsewhere for this song. But a wonderful vehicle for writing, I think, to take to do a fresh interpretation. It was certainly fruitful for me to do a fresh interpretation of a song that I've known since I was a kid, that so many have interpreted in fresh ways as well, in lots of different genres and that sort of thing. Well, you can find all my music at scottsimpsonmusic.com. All of my albums. I have 29 currently. This Keys to My Head was number 29. Number 30 is coming this summer, and its singles are already releasing every couple of weeks. That's not under Scott Simpson. It's under Nana Papa, which is my band with my wife, inspired by our grandson, hence Nana Papa. And so we're putting out a new single. I'm trying a different approach to the marketing, I guess. A new single every couple of weeks until we hit July 1st, and then we're going to release the full album. And we just today released a shanty. Yes, a shanty. I'm kind of trying to get in on that that whole thing. So Living Things Shanty by Nana Papa. Check that out. And we've got four singles out right now, and we'll have a full 10. And then we may add a couple of other traditional songs to that when we release the full album. So thanks again for joining me. And for joining me on this particular song, which really is all about this place that means so much to me, the Black Hills, where my studio is, where my work is, where my community is, all the beauty of it, all the wonderfulness, the sacredness of it, but also the shadow. And I think it's important for us to be aware of the shadow of our collective society, the shadow of things like systemic inequity, systemic racism, because if we're not aware of it, we're doomed to just perpetuate it, just live with it, status quo. It's not hurting me. Gotta become aware so that we can make a change for the better going forward. So stay tuned and be well.